Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Trupanion Medical Insurance for the life of your pet is a proud sponsor of Pure Dog Talk. Trupanion invites you to sign up for their breeder support program. This program allows breeders to provide their buyers with special offers to help protect the puppy in the event of any unexpected accidents or illnesses as they transition to their new home. By clicking the link on my partner page, you can join the program today. Additionally, Trupanion will provide you with informational materials for your puppy kits, and they'll offer one-on-one support, all at no cost to you. Sign up at the partner page today and mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am here at the Yuba City Dog Show with my old and dear friend, Jeff Heim.
Jeff, this is going to make me very nervous as unaccustomed as I am to speaking in front of
You're not speaking in front of anyone. You're talking to me.
You know that already.
It's true.
Anyway, that was a joke. Right. Everybody knows I talk way too much.
You should be my co-host. They tell me the same thing. All right. So Jeff Heim, professional dog handler, long time involved with the sport and many wonderful stories. So Jeff, give us the 411.
Stories, huh?
Well, tell us a little bit about your background, how you got started.
Well, my background, I actually started showing cows.
The best part of the story.
When I was very young, I bought a bull calf, and I was going to go to Junior Grand National and have just a wonderful time, right? And back in the day at the Cow Palace, the Junior Grand National was really a big deal for the kids. We had a great time being bad as well as good.
Right.
We had to take care of our own animals. And we were taught how to do that properly. We didn't have a lot of adult supervision. So other than the fact that we were trained prior to getting there to take care of our animals. And that was number one. So I showed this calf, this bull calf. He was in a class all by himself. And for those of you who don't know, at livestock shows, they have to tell you why they placed you in whatever place, whether
right.
it's first to 50 or first
right.
to 5. Doesn't matter. So I'm the only one in my class. And so the judge walks over with a fourth place ribbon and hands it to me. And I went, okay. I didn't say anything. I didn't cry. I didn't anything. I got a fourth place ribbon. And he said, I'm giving you a fourth place ribbon, and this is a very nice calf, but you bought it at the wrong time of the year. And so it doesn't meet the quality levels of a calf in this class. So here's your fourth place ribbon. So I'm not a stupid guy, and I took the calf home, sold him, and bought four heifers. But I showed cattle for a long period of time. I was on judging teams that taught me a lot about different livestock. And this was at the FFA level, Future Farmers of America. And the one thing that we couldn't do was judge horses. It wasn't
right.
in the judging group that we could. But we all liked horses, and we wanted to learn about horses. So there were six of us, two girls, four guys. And we went, and we would sit in the stands when we had breaks and watch horse judging. And the interesting thing about that is we talk among ourselves and we're learning what different horses are used for different things, just like dogs, and why they should do this and why they should do that. And one of the trainers in the horse arena saw us periodically in the stands and one day came up and asked us what we were doing. And we said we were learning horses and how to judge them and everything else. And he sat down with us and talked to us about horses. And how horses were put together and why they were put together that way, which taught me a tremendous amount. And then he told other trainers that he had these kids that were really interested in learning mm-hmm. about horses. So eventually we had, at any given time when we were in the stands, two or three trainers with us teaching us about
awesome.
About horses. And so that was a really great mentoring situation.
Yeah.
Now, have I ever ridden horses? Once
really?
In my life. And the horse took me off in an orchard. And
found
I said, I'm never getting back on it. Never getting back on another horse. And I never have. Thank you very much. But I love horses. I used to watch racehorses all the time. And I learned a tremendous amount about dogs from watching racehorses. Although dogs are not racehorses. Dogs
no.
are dogs.
No.
Yes, there are certain similarities. But I learned these things coming in. So when I came into the dog world, I was green as green can be. I was probably, as we all are, typical 90-day wonders, and thought I knew everything, but I didn't know a doggone thing. But I learned about people in the beginning. I learned about people who really didn't understand the sport and didn't understand about why certain dogs won and why certain dogs lost. And I hung out with these people for a few months, and then I decided that I needed to change my friends because I needed to learn more about dogs. So then I started palling around with other groups of dog people who taught me things. And so I learned about judging. I learned about why certain dogs won. And pretty soon it starts to stick in your mind about structure and soundness and type and all those things that come along.
Absolutely. So two things. How do we help owner handlers learn some of the knowledge that you have accumulated or that other handlers have accumulated? Because you make such a valid point that we have accumulated that knowledge and we are able to apply it rapidly. And it helps us be successful. So we want to help others be successful.
I think that's a very difficult question, personally. I think it's very hard in today's world. Now, things have changed a lot over the years, and I've been showing dogs for 50 years. It's a lot different than when I started. I think that I had good mentors. I think there are good mentors in today's world, too. But I'm not sure that today's breed of dog show people, breeder owner handlers, I'm not sure that people want to hear what you have to say, because sometimes they take it personally. They take offense to it. You may have said something about their dog or the way they were doing something, and they think they're doing it right. So it's a real fine line. Now, I will say that what I do, and I have always done this, when I see somebody in the ring with a really good dog and they've done something to detract from the dog, it may be something really minor about their gait or the way they've held their hand or whatever, or the hold the leash or whatever, or maybe the dog's pacing or something, some situation is occurring. And I will go up to them and say, do you mind if I give you a piece of advice? I observe you showing the dog, and this is what I saw, and I think you'd be better served if you could just do this. Just try it. You don't need to do it today. Do it at home. And that seems to work pretty well. Now, when I was coming up in this sport, I watched other handlers. I would go and sit at ringside and watch other handlers. I had my one Great Dane who was my obedience dog and not a very good confirmation dog. I came to the dog show at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I left after Best in Show. Every single show. So I would watch other handlers, and you can pick out the handlers that handle well, average, and below average. So you need to find the handlers that are average to above average to see what you can do. Then don't go to the ring and try it in the ring that day. Take it home with you. Try it on your dog, because everything that you see is not going to work. I mean, I've been watching handlers, and I still do it today.
I do, too. That was always my assignment when I had a junior handler working for me. Go pick out today's handler that you're going to sit and you're going to watch them show through, you know, whatever. And then they had to come back and tell me what they saw.
And I, along that line, the assistants that have worked for me over the years had done all that and on their own a lot. And today they're really good handlers. So I think that's what people forget. You cannot come to the dog show, go show your dog, and go home. In seminars and handling classes that I teach, that's one of the things that I always say. Go to the dog show. Spend some time there. Allow yourself some time. You came to the dog show. You spent your money. You went and showed your dog. There's a whole dog show here. There's a whole lot of stuff going on here. Have some fun. Hang out with your friends. Tailgate. Do whatever.
Have a
but
picnic.
But have some fun with it and watch other dogs. Get some of your friends to go with you. And go watch breeds that are similar to yours. And then go watch breeds that aren't similar to yours.
If you have Great Danes, go watch Maltese.
That's right.
And why did they do that thing? And then when somebody's got a free time, ask them.
And as I said, take whatever you've seen at the dog show, take it home with you, try it. If it works, okay, fine. If it doesn't work, don't use it. Just because somebody else is doing it, don't do it.
My father's favorite thing, if somebody else jumped off a cliff, would you do it too?
My father's was, if some of your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off the bridge? So you don't need to be somebody who just follows whoever's hot. That's not the point. The point is learning what they're doing and why with that particular dog. And the handlers who campaign specials, those dogs do similar things all the time. Maybe not the same, but similar. They're always there. There's right. always those things that are always with that dog.
Yeah.
That particular dog.
On that day.
On that day.
Right.
So that's because they've done the trial and error factor of getting to that point. Now, the breeder owner handler who has the one dog or two dogs, and they go to the dog show, and they're not winning, and they get burned out, they get ticked off at judges. A judge can only judge what you present to them. They're not going to use their own
X-ray vision.
Yeah, X-ray vision is a good one. They're not going to make up
right.
what they want to see. They're going to judge what you present to them. And one of the questions that I'm sure, Laura, you've got asked too, is if you have a great dog and a mediocre dog, and you have a great handler on the mediocre dog, and you have an average handler on the great dog, which one's going to win? The mediocre dog's going to win, unless it's so mediocre that it can't.
Right.
But it's going to win because the handler has not allowed the judge to see
the mediocre.
The bad parts.
Right. Whereas every dog has bad parts. And if you, as a handler, know what they are and how to track for them, that's...
You're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
You're going to lose. Simple as that.
Very easy.
So you can't blame, oh, well, Bob was in the ring today and that's why I lost. Or this judge is a handler judge. First of all, most of the people who are breeder owner handlers wouldn't know a handler judge from a regular judge or any other kind of judge for that matter. And I always say, go and show your dog to a judge more than once.
Yes.
Especially if you have
show
a young
more
dog.
Than one dog
yeah.
to that judge. Because just because a judge doesn't like X dog doesn't mean it won't like Y dog, because it's a different, wait for it, Jeff.
Absolutely.
A different dog.
Absolutely.
And maybe it's better in that particular area than the one you showed previously.
And let's say you took your two-year-old dog to him and he didn't like him. But right. at 3 years old, right. this dog is really a nice
fabulous.
Dog.
Right.
And you don't take it to this judge because the judge didn't put you up once. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
There is no judge I will not show a dog to. Period. Mm. Over my whole career, there is not a judge that I will not show a dog to.
You don't have your own personal DNS list.
No.
Nope. Good.
Nope.
Good.
It's a waste of time. You pay your money, you take your chances, and whatever. Now, do I say, if I have a particular judge, do I say, I'm going to take this dog to that particular judge, and I'm not going to take this other dog? Absolutely, because this dog has stayed in type with this kind of a dog for a while.
Right.
Let's say a couple of years.
Right.
Then I think, okay, this is the type of dog that this judge is going to like.
Appreciate.
And so right. I'm going to take right. him that kind of dog.
And that, once again, you are highlighting what I always try to explain to people. One of the incredible advantages that we are offered as professional handlers is the opportunity to show a number of dogs of a number of breeds over a number of years, often in a number of areas, to some of these judges. And we pay attention. And so we know that this judge really likes this type of thing in this particular breed. And we are smart. And so we enter them.
That's what we get paid for.
Exactly.
That's what we get paid
that
for.
That type of dog.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know. I promised I was never going to sing again. But I'm saying our new audiobook is available now. Whoop. Yeah. Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks, is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com. And make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included. Because shipping is free, that's on me, and I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more, and this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow.
I had a judge, this was many, many years ago, names will not pop up with judges with me in this interview.
No names everybody were used said, in this interview.
Everybody said that I could take a goat to this lady and win. And I finally said to somebody one time, only if the goat had great side gait. Because the lady loves side gait. So I only took her dogs that had great side gait. So I won all the time under her.
Genius! Exactly. And I think, listeners, listen to this. Learn about the judges and what they like. And the way you do that is you sit all day and watch them judge 150 breeds.
I'm going to say
150
this.
Dogs in 150 breeds.
The worst thing that we have right now is the Facebook
dog show judges report card. I'm sorry, Jacqueline Zern. I love you to death, but it needs to die.
It does. I absolutely agree with that.
I'm going to leave that in, and I'm going to back you up on it. It really needs to die. It's a painful and hurtful and not useful thing.
First of all, sitting outside the ring and watching a judge judge, you don't see a lot of things that the judge sees. And I still learn in this game today. I watch dogs. I watch breeds that I don't know very much about, and I try to learn from it. I was at the Westminster Kennel Club show. And the 2 days prior, they had Boston specialties. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about Bostons. I could judge Bostons right now.
Right.
Because I sat and I watched two people who knew what they were doing judge dogs. Mm-hmm. And so I learned type to start with. Right. I had to figure out type first.
Oh, yeah.
So I figured out type to start with. And then I started watching movement. And then I had two people sitting with me one day who were breeders.
Good.
Who were very open with me.
Right.
And they told me all of these things. And I thought, what a great learning experience.
It is.
Now, I agree that we don't have the time to do that. And if you're new into the sport, nobody's going to talk to you.
Well, and that, I think, is part of the problem.
And I do. And I agree. So I try and talk to people.
I know you do. I've watched you do it. It's one of the reasons I wanted you to do this, because you have a gift, Jeff.
I'm not going to be critical of somebody's dog, but I may say, you might want to look at this that I'm talking about. This is, you may understand that this might be why you're not winning right now. Whether it's conditioning, which is easily fixed.
Easy to fix.
Which goes along
grooming.
Grooming. If you don't know how to groom a dog, go ask somebody. Go ask somebody in a breed. And if they figure you're very serious about this whole thing and you really want to learn, they'll talk to you.
They'll help you.
They'll talk to you. You can't go talk to them when they're showing, but after groups or something like that at somebody's setup, if you walk in and bring your dog with you and you say, you know what, I need some help. I really need some help. And I really respect the fact that you show quality animals put down really well, and I want to learn.
Help me?
I want to learn. Will you help me?
I've done it myself.
And they will.
I have totally done it myself. I have gone to people in that breed that I respect and said, listen, I've got this and this and this, and I just can't get this. Can you help me figure out this? Every single time, and I'm competition to them.
Yep.
They help me.
I've taken on breeds that I don't know anything about and gone and talked to handlers who breed them, who have showed the dogs and groomed them and everything else. And say, I don't know anything about this. I'm going to be your competition. Can you give me a hand?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever said no to me. Nobody.
Never. I totally agree with that. And I think that's something people need to hear. The other thing I want to
We're not unapproachable.
No, we're not mean.
We
just sound mean.
Yeah, really. You can't approach us in the middle of the day when we're showing dogs. That's not going to work because we don't have time.
No.
We do not have time.
I want
but
to talk to you.
I try and tell people, find me at 3 o'clock.
Right. Or 4 o'clock.
Or 4 o'clock or whatever.
Whatever it is.
Find me then, and I'll be more than happy to answer your questions and help you out. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But I am more than willing. But when we're all showing dogs and we have 15, 20 dogs to show, we don't have time. We don't have time to set up because there's dogs being groomed. There's stuff going on. There's people running around.
There's
too chaotic.
Organized chaos.
We can't do it.
It is a goat cluster every single day.
But don't ignore the fact that we're here.
And willing to help.
And we're not all arrogant little prima donnas. But even the arrogant prima donnas will sometimes
help you. Yeah, they will. Truly.
So don't hesitate to ask somebody, but do it at the right time. Do it in the right approach.
And if one person should happen to say no, don't be
sad.
Go find somebody else. There's more than one.
Yeah. And I mean, I keep saying this about this sport. And everybody keeps saying, oh, the sport's going to die. It's going down. And that's not. This sport was going on when the war was going on, for gosh sakes. We still had dog shows. No, they weren't as big or anything else. And yeah, there was other things going on. There's great stories about dogs and dog shows going on during the war.
Right.
When it was really hard.
Yeah.
Now we have a lot of dog shows, so it's dwindled down the entries because we have so many dog shows, and we're so spread out. And it's not just here in California, it's all over the country. The East Coast is bad because they've got billions of shows in four states that you can get to in 20
10
minutes. So the sport is not dying. The dog shows are not put on for your entertainment. They are put on as dog shows.
Yeah.
So you can get points and championships and all that. The entertainment factor is on you.
Right.
We used to have, I hate to use the old days, but back when there were less shows and everything else, tailgating was a big deal.
But see, we still do this, at least in the Northwest. Always, we'll get together, you know, and it's not every dog show.
Nope.
It's going to be a nice, pretty outside dog show. Everybody's in their rig, and we have barbecues.
Yep.
And we have get-togethers.
And I see that that's occurring more and more and more now.
And
I think that's great.
It should be something every single listener out here. Go have a barbecue. Get your own friends. Make your own barbecue.
I will tell you, at dog shows, we knew where the tailgates were.
Yeah.
The St. Bernard people and the Newfoundland people had their best tailgates, and we could all pop by for lunch, and everybody knew it.
Exactly.
So we all did.
Exactly.
Those women could cook.
There you go.
I see every once in a while that there are things going on, but I think people need to sit down and talk and learn about each other. We all come from varied backgrounds of... We're not just all dog people.
Right.
We come from varied backgrounds. And those varied backgrounds are really, really something.
Fascinating. There's fascinating people at the dog shows when you sit and
some
talk
of the
to them.
Judges I know,
yes.
I never talk dogs to judges at all, ever.
No. Talk
I never
about
do.
Life.
Yeah. And I've learned so much about judges that nobody knows about.
Right. This is the greatest thing about this show. Jeff, if you don't ever listen to it, you have to. It's the coolest thing. I talk to these people and I find out things I didn't know about people I've known for 30 years. Seriously.
That's because we're in this closed community, and so during the day, we're dogs.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And after the dog show, unless we're out socializing...
You're exhausted.
And exhausted. You don't really find out about people. I have the ability, my wife and two of my friends will tell you this for sure, the ability to just start talking to people and get them to talk about themselves. I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming during a wildlife art festival, and I wanted to get a poster signed. Or get a signed poster of the piece of art that they used that was their poster. An artist paints it.
Right.
And then they use it on a poster.
Right.
And then they sell that painting.
Right.
So I went into the where I had to go get it. And my wife and two friends were sitting out in a car. And I was in there about 10 to 15 minutes. And because the lady had to get the poster and roll it all up and put it in paper and put it in a tube and everything else for me. So it took a while. So I came out to the car and I get in the car and I started to turn the ignition on. And my wife said, "So can you tell us about the lady you got the poster from?" So I said, "Yes, she's from."
Right.
And this is what
right.
she does.
Right.
This is what her husband
right.
does. And
right.
everything else.
Right. See, there you go.
So I enjoy learning about
right.
people.
And I think one of the things, that's who you are. Okay. And not everybody is that way, but I think, this is my opinion, I think that today's world of social media, we are so disconnected from human interaction. Because you go to dinner, and people will be texting each other across the table.
I have a rule.
Well, I know
have
I've had dinner
rule.
With you.
Have a dinner rule.
And I have it too.
Phones do not come out.
No, first
go,
person that brings
go away.
The
we're here to talk to each
first
other.
First phone that comes out, that person pays for the everybody's dinner. That's my rule.
I don't do that, but
oh,
I
do. If you pull your phone at dinner, you're paying for it.
I had a gal that used to come to dinner, and I said, "You can't have your phone." She said, "I can't do that. I can't do that." I said, "Yes, you can. Just put it away." And so she wouldn't do that, and I stopped having dinner with her.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't invited to dinner with us anymore.
Right.
And I used to have a no-dog rule. Don't talk about dogs. Because people have lives.
Yeah.
And we are interesting people.
Yeah.
We're not just handlers breeders.
But I think we need to just get outside. Part of social media is, I personally think it's a wonderful tool that has some downsides. And I really think that one of them is that we don't interact
the interaction.
With each other.
I think that's so important. Interaction here,
yep.
again, like we were talking
yep.
about dog people talking to other dog people about making them better or making their dogs mm-hmm. better or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's part of what this is about.
Yeah.
This is a social event.
And it should be fun. You can't have your fun be whether you want a blue ribbon or not.
As
that's
I tell
the big problem.
As I tell people in seminars, some of the people who were the last time I spoke to a club will know about this. I said, if you're not having any fun, maybe you should look around and change the people that you're trying to have fun with. and find another group. And everybody in the audience, I noticed, watching the people, the little light bulbs went off in their little heads.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you people are, you'll get it here.
Yeah. Hang out with better people. If the people that you hang around with are unpleasant and sad and bitter and angry and blaming.
You can be happy, glad, upset, whatever you want to be. 5 minutes and move on. Because dog shows are very fleeting. You get a best in show today. Tomorrow you have to go to the show. The dog's
didn't
all
win
over
the
again.
Brief.
It's all new. It's all new.
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing. So don't let dog shows not be fun.
Yeah.
For you. Yeah. As a person, don't let dog shows not be fun.
And for your dog.
Yep.
Because it's more fun for your dog. It's more fun for your dog if you're having fun. Just heads up.
How many people go to a dog show and see their dogs when they get around a ring where their dog has been for the last 3 or 4 months? See their little eyes light up because I know that dog over there. I know that dog over there. They do that. Watch your dog.
That's right. We would all be a better world if we were more like our dogs.
Yep. In some respects. In others, not so much.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for asking me to do this.
You've been nagging me for about a year. Another one I've stalked for a year. Yes. I'm getting like a win streak going here.
So thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.